Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, I thought it was a hard-fought game. Certainly got to compliment Coach Johnson and the Bears, man, on a winning performance. Like I just told the team, man, it's tight when it's good on good, particularly when you're in a hostile environment. Any number of plays could have changed the outcome of the game, and that's why we just got to live every down singularly.
Where was good on good in that game? The Bears had a horrible defense, decimated defense. I brought up Tommy Cusumano. Remember him from the Friday show?
Your buddy, Joe.
Yeah, my buddy. You want to know what I texted him? I said, in the fourth quarter, Tommy, how many Bears starters compared to third stringers are on the field right now? And he knows this team, you know, he's obsessive. He said, I know my team and I have no idea who half these guys are. That's what he said. So where was the good on good? Anyway, we didn't invite you on to talk about that, Donnie. You made the prediction heard round the world. Tell us when you made it. You said about a month ago, and I want to know the date, and I want to know what both teams' records were. I think a lot of people thought eventually the Ravens might catch the Steelers, even when the Ravens were 1-5. But Bob, Donnie Football said on the air, the Ravens will be in first place by Thanksgiving. Guess who's in first place, and we're not even at Thanksgiving yet. Donnie, congratulations.
Thank you. It was October 30th.
And what were the team's records at that point?
I believe the Ravens had just picked up their second win.
That's correct.
So they were 2-5.
And the Steelers would have been 4-2 then on October 30th, the day before Halloween?
At least.
Yes, because they had a bye week early, yes.
Yeah. So the Steelers still had a nice, healthy lead. But the Ravens won that game with Tyler Huntley at QB. They were going to get Lamar Jackson back.
And the Ravens, sorry, just to clarify, the Steelers were 4-3. They had just lost to Green Bay on the 26th, but they were about to beat Indy. So they were 4-3. The Ravens were what, 2-5?
2-5.
Yes.
It's an unbelievable prediction, Donnie.
I mean, I really don't want to give myself too much credit because I think it was quite predictable. And I'm sure I'm not the only one.
You needed the Ravens to win every game and the Steelers to lose at least, well, they've gone 2-2 since then.
Yeah,
maybe it wasn't that great of a prediction.
I said,
no, it was, Bob. Nobody was saying they'd be in first place by Thanksgiving.
I think what you said earlier is true, that I think most of us thought that could be reachable. Certainly the odds makers did, but not as quick as you said, Donnie.
I said with a month in between, because we took it to the end of Thanksgiving week.
Yeah.
So that, like, the Steelers will play on Sunday. I said the Ravens will go 5-0 in that span. They'll be 7-5. The Steelers will go 2-3. They'll be 6-6.
So that means this week you're predicting a loss for the Steelers and another win for the Ravens.
I mean, you got there a week early.
It would work out that way.
Yeah.
And by the way, even if the Steelers win and the Ravens lose and the Steelers regain first place on Thanksgiving night, your prediction was still right. You specifically said the Ravens will be in first place before Thanksgiving or by Thanksgiving. As we sit here today, you were right and nothing can undo
that. Did you know
that.
All the tiebreakers too? You must have, because based on that, they had identical records. You had to have looked into them because it was they didn't lose a division game.
Yeah, I said that they would be
a game
they
ahead.
Would be perfect and actually take a clear game ahead.
And you might be exactly right about that too.
By Thanksgiving night, before the clock strikes midnight to get to the next day, you could be right. If they win, they're technically ahead.
Yeah, and I mean, I certainly had people agreeing with me in the replies. You know, the people were like, "I don't even know where you find two wins for the Steelers." To which. I didn't even really know how to answer that because in true Steelers fashion, they go out and beat, at the time, the team that looks like the most dominant squad in football.
Right.
And then they proceed to lose after that, get a win again against Cincinnati. But the Ravens felt like they were about to turn a corner after that Bears game.
Yeah, and mostly because of their schedule, honestly.
Yes.
Right.
And I don't even think they've played great. I still worry about them, Bob.
Yeah, the schedule absolutely plays into it. The defense is not as bad as it was the first half of the season.
No, that's the Bills' defense.
And then you always have to feel good. I know the guy crumbles in the playoffs, but you're almost always going to have an advantage at the game's most important position, and they do.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And our dear friend Limits is on the text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Donnie, I'm so glad you're here. In addition to praising you for your prediction, it's Bob's favorite topic, his favorite segment. It's called Decisions. Kind of like you and I on the numbers game on Friday. It's taken off intergalactically. People love this thing. Absolutely love it.
It's a big hit.
Yeah, will you participate?
Sure.
All right, let's go with the biggest, most notable decision of the day or of the weekend, and that was to sit Aaron Rodgers and play Mason Rudolph. It's Bob's considered opinion and Mark Cabali's that it would have made no difference, Rodgers or Rudolph, they still lose the game. It's my opinion and Limits that Aaron Rodgers absolutely wins that game. Where do you stand?
They absolutely win with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, to me. And I think Austin brought – I was listening driving into the first segment you guys had. Austin brought up the discussion that we had on Friday about how many points does Aaron Rodgers make up for. He said 4. I think I said 3. I think you said 0
I said
or
zero.
1.
Yeah.
I think a few things in that game Aaron Rodgers does not do. He still, no matter the age difference – he's not going to be as turnover prone as Mason Rudolph is. I think, and I know that the Steelers over the last few years, no matter who's at quarterback, don't really attack the middle of the field. I think he pushes aside whatever gets laid down to him and says, there's a bunch of nobodies in the middle of this defense. We are going to attack the middle of the field.
Why wouldn't they do that anyway, regardless who's at quarterback? I mean, to me, that's an obvious... attack point. They have nobody healthy in the middle of the field. Therefore, you go after. It's just like a corner who goes down with injury.
Because Mason doesn't feel as entitled to blow off the game plan as Aaron would.
But the game, that's why I'm saying it's a strategy thing. To me, this was all schematics that they were not going to attack it regardless, and that's wrong.
Mike put shackles on anybody who doesn't have the resume built up. I think that's abundantly clear.
You know what? You might have hit on something. We were talking, why did Mike sit him? And maybe because he felt more comfortable winning this game with a shackled Mason than with Aaron. But anyway, go ahead.
I also don't think he makes the mental mistakes that Mason Rudolph did. I know Mark was defending him to the hilt earlier, and that was as clear as I've ever heard Mark over the phone, by the way, when it came to defending Mason Rudolph. but there was a huge one on the final drive. And now Rudolph, he took off like he was Lamar Jackson on that run. That put them in a very good spot. But the flag was thrown as soon as the ball was snapped. Everybody had a feeling that it would get
the
called
second
back.
Last drive. Yeah.
For at least an illegal shift or illegal formation. Aaron Rodgers spotted that, and you could see it on the TV broadcast. He spotted that before they ever snapped the football, that the formation was messed up.
Yeah, but the coaches should know that too then.
Yes, they should.
They have the ability to call timeout, right? So they should have called timeout.
Why do you let Mason off the hook at every turn, though?
I'm not
letting
him off the hook.
Figure.
I'm saying it goes beyond him. This whole thing
But we're simply talking about, do they win the game with Aaron compared to Mason? And the fact that even with the game plan maybe hampering him, even with the defense stinking, even with all these factors, Mason played a bad game. You obviously agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
and I'm not disagreeing. I agree too. I think he could have been a lot better.
But you disagree with the idea that Rodgers would have won the game.
Yes, because I think the scheme was not a proper scheme, and it's a mistake on their
behalf. He's saying that Rodgers would have taken it into his own hands to go over the middle.
He might have. Yes, he might have. I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't think they have the two turnovers like they did. I think he's a little bit smarter in that aspect of the game. And I also feel that they get into that final drive, and then he really takes it into his hands. Not to mention, and I know people want to poo-poo this point, and I've noticed a lot of people have reverted back to how he played against the Packers and was like, well, he didn't get up against the Packers like everybody thought he would. The Bears in Chicago, that was like Big Ben against the Browns in Cleveland. Like, he clearly gets up for this game a little bit more than other ones.
Which tells me that his wrist was not able to play. I guarantee you there's more to it than we're hearing. It has to be. There's
you no guarantee? What do you mean?
I mean, you made it sound like they're just, he could have played, but they chose to rest him. If he really wanted to play, he would have pushed that to the
all
point
all available where, evidence says exactly that. Mike Tomlin said Aaron wanted to play. Mike Tomlin said the reason he didn't play was not because he was too injured to play, but because Mason had more practice reps and had a more fluid week.
That's a coach thing to say, but they had to make their decision based on, it's medical first to me. And if there's something more to this that we're not hearing, would you at least consider that as an option?
Oh, no. I think that's a very fair point that they are clearly more worried about it than they let on. It was also an odd comment, though, immediately after the game when he says, well, he'll be good to go for Buffalo.
He said he anticipates and hopefully.
Okay.
If I anticipate something, then I think it's going to happen.
Well, he anticipates a lot of things that don't happen throughout the course of the
week. Okay. Well, I guess we'll know. If Aaron plays this week, we'll know he should have played in Chicago.
Not necessarily, unless there was something more to it from a medical point of view. That's all I'm saying.
A fractured wrist is going to heal in 6 days?
It may have impacted how he hands the ball off.
But it won't impact him this week?
Seven more days? I don't know, Joe. You're asking me a medical question. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm making my decision on what the head coach said. I might be wrong, but tell me, do you know more, Bob, than you're saying?
No, I'm just saying, all I'm saying is that he didn't play, and I believe that he was brought here in the first place to play in these games, and if he was ready to play, then he should have played.
Tomlin said he wanted to play.
But, as you said, the practice indicated that he wasn't practicing, so maybe there's more to it.
He did practice.
He didn't practice with the ones.
But he was out there throwing the ball around.
I'm just keeping open the possibility that there's more involved in this than what you think. I think Aaron Rodgers, if he wanted to play, demanded, I'm playing. That issue would have been... Just like he talked Mike Tomlin into not kicking a field goal in Dublin.
I think there's a very strong possibility he wanted to play and lobbied to play, and Tomlin had them say, you know what, if he's not cleared medically, then he has no choice. That's the way to keep him from forcing his way onto the field.
We'll see.
He also said he made the call Saturday night.
Right, and Mason knew that he was playing Saturday.
What does that indicate to you?
That to me just sounds like Aaron Rodgers lost out on the battle. I mean,
That's what I think.
We were saying on Friday, though, all of these guys are going to insist that they can play.
Yeah.
They all have that, competitive edge to where they always do want to play. That's why I do leave the possibility open that Bob is right and there's something more to this because it was...
We'll know if he doesn't play against Buffalo.
It was stunning to me that they came out at, 10:30 yesterday morning and said, the guy's not going to play. He's on the field flipping people the bird, and then half hour later, he's not going to play.
Right. Something very odd about the whole thing.
In a stadium that he looks forward to playing every year. He made it a point before he even signed at that, Mike Studd concert that, well, there's a team I might sign with that plays in Chicago next year.
He anticipates Rodgers is going to play. If he doesn't play, then I'll be more inclined to believe that there was way more to this story. If he plays against Buffalo, then it was, to me, it was simply Mike Tomlin saying, I don't want to take the chance. We might make a turnover. We can't have a turnover. Next time they make a turnover, they should walk off the field and get on the plane and go home. I've never seen a team this paranoid. That's all the guy talks about. And by the way, on defense, the whole game, All they do is they punch the ball, chase the ball, punch the ball, rip the ball. That's our culture.
And
we're
a turnover
culture.
A lot of tackles in doing so.
How about tackle somebody?
Right,
how about cover somebody? How about focus on that instead of these guys running around punching at the ball the whole game?
Yeah, especially when you look at some of the open receivers, Donnie. They had DJ Moore just was in the middle of, it looked like a complete like ocean, and there was no one around.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He had the whole beach to himself. You know what I mean? He's sitting there with a lounge chair. Hey, I'm here. Throw me the ball.
Yeah, I mean,
it's so wide open.
Yeah, I mean, anybody in this building is catching that touchdown pass. It's also pretty wild to me that on a day where the defense does force a couple of turnovers, they score a touchdown on their own.
Yeah,
I come away from it thinking they didn't have a good day.
They stunk. And if Caleb Williams was accurate, like even semi-accurate, he throws for close to 400 yards. All he had was open receivers all day. Wide open, middle of the field, side of the field, anywhere he wanted to go. The Steelers got badly out-schemed. I got a number for you guys that will blow your mind. You ready?
Yes.
Decisions, decisions. Let's move on to George Pickens, because we never talk about that one, do we, Bob?
Oh, I think I know where this number is
going. Well,
craziest stat ever from ML Football. George Pickens has more receiving yards than all the Pittsburgh Steelers wide receivers combined. Pickens has 1,044. The Steelers have 1,009 among their wide receivers. They traded Pickens for a third rounder. I still think he would have blown up here. And yet, I can't equivocate like that and throw in these little, you know, sidebars like that. I thought it was addition by subtraction. I was 100% wrong. It's one of the worst trades in NFL history. Kay Adams was right. And it's the worst trade in Steelers history.
Kay Adams, told you at the beginning of the year I didn't like that
trade.
I don't
think you said it was one of the worst trades in NFL history.
No, but
history.
I told you that they should have kept him.
Well,
here.
She said that. That's what I'm saying. Oh. I agree with. One of the worst trades in NFL history and the worst trade in Steelers history.
I don't know if I go worst trade in, well, I mean, I guess I can't think many at the top of my mind, though.
If you want to use Devin Bush as one they moved up to, it wasn't a trade, but it was a move.
Yeah.
And
well, that was a trade.
Right.
They moved up.
I mean, okay, what did the Broncos get out of that?
The Broncos ones, that was the worst trade, I thought. The Russell Wilson, and you can also say Deshaun Watson was one of the worst trades in the history of football.
Sure. Austin keeps waving over to
me. What am I doing?
I don't know.
No, I was just trying to get you to adjust the camera, Dunny. Your camera.
Oh, my camera.
Yeah, adjust
the
camera.
I thought you were pointing to Bob.
So, did somebody have a worse? You think the Devin Bush trade was worse than this?
No, I'm just saying it could. It would, you know, look
they
at
traded
what they
a
gave
third
up.
Round pick for a first team all pro
right.
receiver.
And Deshaun Watson was traded for what? And what was Russell
yeah.
Wilson
well,
traded
yeah, if
for?
Walker was
a bad one. Yeah, there's a lot of bad trades.
Right. One of is the key there. One of the right. worst trades in NFL history and the worst trade in Steelers history. Does either one of you disagree with either of those two notions?
I'd have to look all the way back, but yeah, it's right up there. Given what is happening with George Pickens,
I think in recent Steelers history, it's one of the bad ones. And I was the only guy in the afternoon that didn't celebrate it. I remember the day that trade happened. Pony and Chris were in celebration mode. You might have chalked up cool.
So
in the
was
game.
I, and I admit it.
And
I still think he would have blown up here. And by the way,
but that's
by the
an
way,
indictment on their coaching not being able to scheme him
well,
open.
Well, it's an indictment on him too, but it's also an indictment on the Steelers. And even if he didn't blow up, do you think that guy would have thrived in this little puny, teeny, weeny pop gun offense that
they
have?
That's what needed to change.
No, but I mean, I think DK Metcalf's a prime example of that. Why don't you go look at his numbers across the board? Worst of his career.
But I can't even
Did make, he get worse?
Yeah, I can't even make that argument because it would be like saying, you know, Jose Bautista went to Toronto. He wouldn't have thrived in Pittsburgh. Okay, but maybe that's true, but that doesn't negate the fact that it's one of the worst trades in baseball history. Same as this. Nothing can negate the fact that the Steelers couldn't create an environment where he thrived and now he's thriving to the point, to the tune where he might be a first-team All-Pro.
And speaking, he's going to be a first-team All-Pro.
Yeah, and speaking of thriving, we always tend to thrive on, well, they got rid of a receiver. They always know how to do it at the right time. This guy's going to go and he's going to burn out in Dallas and it's going to be a disaster just like Martavis Bryant was, just like AB was when they traded him. It always works out for the Steelers. Not this time, baby. The guy is, I think, next to Jaxon Smith-Njigba, the best receiver in football statistically.
And this is
now,
why.
Now, I know something is also a big help. Dak Prescott's far and away the best quarterback he's ever played with. It's not,
he's not as
close.
Good as Mason. Mason gives the Steelers a chance to win,
part of the
according
problem,
to Kabali.
But you also can scheme guys open a little bit more than they're doing it. And my whole logic of him, again, was just they had an opportunity. They dealt with 3 years of his nonsense.
Right, but you'll admit it wouldn't have worked here in this offense.
I admit that if you had Metcalf and him together, that would be coaching malpractice to utilize both of them the way they're designed to be.
I agree with that, but they have a malpractice practitioner in Artie Smith. Do you think that he would have taken advantage of having two good receivers?
I hope so. I mean, that's why.
What?
They
I hope so, too. You can't believe that.
Well, they traded Pickens, which tells me they weren't going to do it. They were not going to devise a scheme that could have and to me, I wanted to see Metcalf and Pickens together at the same time. Just as I see what's going on down there in Dallas with CD drop Lamb, who's dropping everything, and George Pickens has emerged as their number one. But you have two guys who merit coverage. You have to respect their deep ball. You could have done so many different things with that. That's why I wanted to stay.
But
I would have trusted that he would have been on his best behavior, which is to say he'd get in trouble, but not as much. But,
that would have been nice, but you'll admit
he needed to play for the money. The carrot was out there. Money,
sure.
money.
And that's nice. And maybe George Pickens would have been on his best behavior, not caused one problem, and had the greatest attitude in the world. All three of us sitting here know that he wouldn't have thrived in Arthur Smith's little pop gun offense.
No, it wouldn't look this good. But I was with Bob, and I wanted to see them at least try instead of the assumption and the, well, he's going to blow up at some point. He's going to blow up at some point that we just kept hearing. Another thing that makes it look even worse is that they did it again without having a backup plan.
Exactly,
the summer prior, they let Brandon Ayuk drag them along all summer, and they looked like idiots once we got to August because they had zero backup plan.
Right.
They trade George Pickens away, and they try to tell us, well, don't worry, we have Roman Wilson. He's really coming along. We have Calvin Austin. He had a nice
and we'll get
season.
Somebody else. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll figure it out. And they didn't do it again.
Again.
We're talking about the same thing.
Here
we go.
Again.
This is your chance.
Let's try to time it.
Again.
Time it, Donnie.
We're sitting here again.
Clap your hands.
Again.
Talking about the same things. Let's all try to time it this time. You ready, Donnie?
I don't know the quote well enough.
Again.
We're sitting here again.
Again.
Talking about the
same
things.
Bleep things.
All right. To finish decisions, we go into a 2-minute drive because we have to hurry now, Bob. I just want less than 5 words on these. Connor Hayward got the first down on the tush push. Yes or no?
Yes, a blown call. Where's the eye in the sky?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with every syllable Bob just said.
Yeah, I mean,
definitely.
They used the eye in the sky randomly on the play before that to rule Kenneth Gainwell short when he looked like he had the first down. What are we doing? Gainwell's run out of the tush push was a great play.
Great call, yep.
I thought Arthur Smith was reeling it up in the first half.
He was in his bag a little bit, but I thought he fell in love with himself. Tomlin should have gone for it on fourth down, 4th and 9 late. I say yes.
You're talking about the one that would have provided a 67-yard field goal? Is Is that the one you're talking about?
No, when from their own 27, they fourth and nine.
At the two-minute warning.
Should have gone for it.
I would have said yes on that because that's how I was thinking.
Yeah, you go for it. They got lucky defensively that a running back slipped, and he got a little bit lucky that his defense was able to stop
him. But they had to use all three timeouts.
Yes, you blew – well, actually, they only used two because Chicago threw it on third down.
Right, yeah, but then James Pierre cost them their third one.
Yes.
By not getting off the field on some weird play where he looked like he was flopping.
Yeah, you gave your offense so little to work with there.
Let me see here. Oh, does anybody here think that the Bears at the end of the first half intentionally let Warren score to have time on the clock? Does anybody here think that? Were you curious about that?
It never entered my mind.
Okay. No.
Because Gainwell would have scored right before then had he not stepped out.
It entered my mind because it looked so easy.
Well, it was easy because their defense is not very good either.
I didn't think of that either.
But they also got a field goal at the end of the half. I was just wondering.
Yeah, that's a bigger play to me. That screen, they were in the middle of the field throw, it was well schemed. And the guy almost got a touchdown on the play. That was Odunze, I think, right?
Yeah, right before halftime.
He was running, and if it wasn't for Ramsey, he would have scored.
The ridiculous, well, I won't say it's ridiculous. The unsportsmanlike penalty, the flag on Odunze for taunting was absolutely, well, what did you think of that?
I thought it was, it's in the rule. You have to call it, stupid rule.
I agree with all of that.
Well, you don't have to call it. He didn't even throw the ball at the guy. He flipped it at his stomach.
But it's in the rule book that
way. It's also in the rule book that you're not allowed to taunt verbally. Does the ref know what was said to Odunze? It was ridiculous.
It was
Cassius Marsh all over again. Remember he got that taunting penalty?
He did the karate kick.
For the Bears. Yeah.
Another name from the past that just creeped
into this.
Tomlin
should have kicked an easy field goal, which 47 yards, instead of even trying the Connor Hayward tush push in the first half to go up 10. Yes or no?
I'm not going to blame him for going for it because that's a spot where we're all clamoring for it at the time. And we kind of just go like 20-20 on it when they don't get it and think he should have just kicked it. I'm fine with him going for it there.
Okay.
Yeah, I was fine for that too. Although it's 3 points would have made it a 10-point game. The points are precious, but I still in that position. They have to get a first down on that. Come on.
Thank you, Donnie.
Thank you.
By the way, when does replay assist step in and when doesn't it? I am so baffled on that. There were so many spots in this game, and I've never seen a game where we would come back from the television break and they would be like, oh, wait a second, the flag's on the other team. They did that with Skoronic. They did it three different times with spots.
Were you convinced that was a fumble, by the way, recovery by Y.A. Black? Because I never saw.
Like, nor
they
was
called
I
it a fumble on the field. You could not even tell.
They also gave the Bears a first down on a play they shouldn't have gotten one in the second. They kept coming back. I half expected Watt and who was he? Ian Eagle to come back after the game and say, oh, wait a second, the Steelers actually won. Sorry.
I think the Y.A. Black fumble play, that was one of those ones, whatever they called was going to stand.
But I don't even know how you can call that live. I didn't see, like, where were their eyes? They can't even see stuff happening clearly in front of them. I don't know. It was weird.
The CBS production was awful, too, by the way. Oh, I mean, we almost missed the Gainwell play.
And I noticed how J.J. Watt, and this is fine, because T.J. is a great player. He's very happy to talk about it when TJ's playing well and when he breaks the family record, which was cool. I never heard him mention that after that play, TJ disappeared for the rest of the game. Did JJ mention that or did I miss something?
In fact, their whole defense won quarterback hit all day, and that was on the sack. That was
horrifying.
It, right?
And then I'm getting a text last week. Are you convinced on Kyle Duggar now? The only thing I said last week was he's really playing well, but it's sort of a tiny sample size. They're making him sound like he's Ronnie Lott here. And then he drops a pick and gets smoked on a touchdown yesterday.
I haven't seen Asante Samuel, too. Was he supposed to play at some point?
Is he going to play,
Donnie? I thought he was.
Him, MVS. I mean, we're grasping at straws here.
Yes or no, they beat the Bills.
I'm going to say no, although it would be very, very Steelers-like to come right back and win.
That's why I think
I'm
going
to say yes just for that reason. I think it's going to be one of those games. And then
that reason and the Bills get beat up front on both sides of the line of scrimmage
in
every game.
All they have to do is pop in that game tape from the Texans game and watch what they did to them.
Or the Dolphins or Falcons.
The Dolphins, too. The Dolphins applied a lot of pressure.
Dolphins twice, by the way. They outplayed the Bills.
The Steelers should be able to take advantage of that offensive line and get some pressure on him. But then again, you saw some of the schemes in the secondary. Man, that's if they're open, he's capable, even under duress, to make a throw that can result in a big play.
Well, Jalen Ramsey's Ronnie Lott, too, I guess. Except he got beat for another touchdown, right? Donnie?
That he did.
Thank you, Donnie. And have a wonderful day. Bob, he's incredible, isn't he?
DF Donnie Football.
When DF talks, people listen.
When you have a name like
listen.
Football, you better.
DF Hutton, we'll call him. Remember that? Remember that commercial?
Here we go.
When EF Hutton talks.
Everyone stops.
People listen.
Listen.
DF.
DFD.
Yeah.
This is incorrigible limits.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know. It was before your time. EF Hutton.
You don't remember EF Hutton?
No.
Bob, that was like 1974.
I don't remember the guy.
So what?
Either.
I mean, he could still. There's stuff on the internet. I've seen stuff on the internet.
And Bob, I was negative 27 years old. That is older than I am right now. So, no.
Ron was there when they made the EF Hutton commercial, Bob.
Ron was there when he was conceived, too. He was.
Was Ron born when cavemen were alive, Donnie?
When they invented the wheel.
Yeah.
He was the first guy there.
Hereby.
Did you know that instead of a quill.
Seems to be turning in place here.
Instead of
I believe
a quill,
we have a new invention called a wheel.
Ron wrote with a club. He had his big club that he would use.
I used to have a club. Did you guys ever hear of the club?
Yes.
Donnie?
No, you bet you did.
It was an orange contraption.
Like a caveman club?
No, we're on to a different
club,
thing
yes.
now. You put it on your car steering wheel
so no one break
to keep
into your
it
car.
Safe.
Oh, one of those things.
Yeah, called the club.
I've seen those.
It's like, you remember the clapper, right? Same time frame as the clapper.
Okay.
So, did you have one, Bob, a club?
A clapper?
No, a club.
I wanted a clapper just to try it out and see if it was real.
Is that so nobody hotwired your car and just drove off with it?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was a good device, right? Why haven't they advertised more? I would think today, especially, there's so many car break-ins. Why have
Limits.
As much security
and
as you can?
Chris Hope got his car stolen. Limits, have I done text
about that?
And
that
Twitter?
Story is still funny to me.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.